Greetings in Jesus' name. I've been blessed this morning with the instruction that we've received thus far this morning already. Just thinking about Jonah and his experience as he saw God's hand of mercy reaching out over the people as they responded, and just reminded again of Jonah's response in that. How often do I respond that way when I see wicked people and I feel like they deserve punishment, and find myself, it's like, well, they had that coming. But God would that we would hold a hand of mercy towards these people, like Henry shared with us this morning, that we would give them truth, that they might have opportunity to respond to that call. As Henry was sharing, my mind went back to when I was in Pennsylvania, when we were in Pennsylvania, and there was a question and answer session, and I don't know exactly what the question was, but it was in relation to marriage and a desire for marriage, and maybe it seemed like it wasn't happening. But the answer that was given to this question was to be busy in the things of the Lord, and to not wait around and do nothing, but rather to do the work that God has before you, or find something that would be kingdom focused. And I think we were challenged in that area this morning as well. This morning I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 17 and look at the first 19 verses of this chapter. And the title that I have chosen for this morning is Instructions in Forgiveness to Experience Healing. Instructions in Forgiveness to Experience Healing. Maybe we can just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause and bow before you this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have of being home with my family church here, and that I can be together here with people that I know. And I pray, Lord, that you would, again this morning, that you would speak to us as you have already, but that you would speak further into our lives, Lord, that you would, first of all, draw us to yourself, and that you would continue to mold and shape us into the people that you want us to be. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning, and that you would have your way. I pray for those this morning that are not here, that are visiting or traveling. We just lift them up to you, and I just pray that you would bless their day, and that you would just have your way. We thank you for the many blessings that we have. We thank you for life in you. Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters that care about me and that speak into my life in many different ways. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about instructions, there's many times that we have opportunity to to receive instructions. There's many times that we have opportunity to ignore it and to try to find our own way in that instruction. Almost, probably most times that when we go and buy anything, it comes with a set of instructions. Whether it's on how to use it, if it's a piece of furniture or something that needs to be put together, it will come with a set of instructions to tell you how to put it together. We all have a choice to make when we buy these things, whether we're going to use these instructions to help us along the way, or whether we choose to find our own way. Some of us, when we buy these things, we're very careful to, by nature, I think, it seems like we choose to very carefully read the instructions, and we want to make sure we go take every step of the way. And it matters to us. Others, we look at those instructions as, and maybe we even make light of it, it's like, well, those are corrections. If it doesn't work out, I'll go back and I'll read those corrections and see what went wrong. If we choose the second and we're not familiar with the intent and the instructions, and we think that we'll just wing it and get by, many times we have to take a lot of extra steps to get back to where we wanted to be. A few years ago, we had this Lego set that we got, and we were putting it together, and it had many steps. And it was a nice challenge to put that together. Many people in our family enjoyed it. But if you miss one step as you were putting it together, and you realize 10 steps down the road that you miss that one piece, didn't seem like a big deal, or it wasn't even noticed. But maybe 10 steps down the road, it was like, oh no, I missed a step. And many times, you had to backtrack, take pieces apart, and figure out how to get to that step and put that piece together. So it is with God's Word. As we study God's Word, we can choose to take God's instruction that He gives for us and to study it and to be familiar with it, so when the step comes, we understand the step to take. But often as human beings, we sort of think that maybe we have it figured out, and we like to try to take shortcuts. And when situations arise, it's like, well, we'll figure it out then. And we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be because we take those shortcuts. God's desire is that we don't have to do that. But regardless of where we find ourselves this morning, God is a merciful God, and He wants to pick us up here this morning wherever we find ourselves standing. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, and this is instructions in forgiveness. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So it's important this morning that we live a life of forgiveness as things come up in our lives, that we extend a hand of mercy, of forgiveness towards those that have offended us, that have hurt us in some way, shape, or form. Why? Because if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We turn to Luke chapter 17 and go to verse 1 here. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. We see here in the first three verses here that Jesus was speaking to his disciples and was preparing them for what is life, what takes place. And pointing in verse 2 there, pointing out those that bring offense to little ones in the seriousness of that. In, he's reminding us here that offense will come. And at some point in time, we're going to find ourselves being offended by something or by life or by people, that it is reality. There are all levels of offense, and I think we are probably all aware of that. And if we find ourselves in a position where we're offending, the call is here in these verses is to, we have a responsibility to repent. And if we're being offended, we have a responsibility to forgive. Verse 3 here, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Sounds reasonable. Someone is hurting us, is giving us, we're struggling with something that he's doing. Tells us what we should do with that. We should come to him and talk with him. And the picture that I got here is that not to bring accusation against someone to hurt, but rather to bring healing. In Romans 12, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe this is the intent in these verses here, is that is the heart that God is trying to teach us here in this. No place for revenge, but rather kindness. Vengeance belongs to God. In verse 4, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We look at verse 3 here. We see the instruction that Jesus was giving to the disciples. And it is for us here today. We see that sometimes as a big task. But verse 4 brings it down 7 times in a day. If it said a week or a month or a year, that sounds more reasonable to us. But it's these things coming at us 7 times in the response that we're supposed to have is a big task. Proverbs 17, verse 9, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. I think we can relate to that. We understand that in our hearts. But our flesh likes to dwell on the latter part. Verse 5. Notice what the apostles said unto Jesus. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They realize that the instructions that they were given is we need help. We need our faith increase that we can live this out. Verse 6, Jesus' response was, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I was processing that little seed illustration for quite some time and just thinking about, what does Jesus mean here? What is he trying to say? When we think about a mustard seed and know how small it is, at first my mind went, just a little faith. And that would accomplish a lot. But as I continued to look and think about that, in what a mustard seed is and how when it is planted, how quickly it grows once when it's sprouted. If we have faith like a mustard seed, it's real, it's alive, and it finds its maturity quickly. It is something that is growing. It matures in a very short period of time. So it is experiencing growth. So if we put ourselves out there, like Jesus was instructing here in these verses, and we take that step, of faith, and we say, well, okay, this is what God's word instructs me to do, and I'm going to believe it and apply it to my life and see what happens. It will experience fruit. It will experience the blessings that God wants us to experience. And it's going to experience growth to the point that it doesn't need to keep a record. The human side of us, if we have dealings with someone, that it happens multiple times from, let's say, a Sunday to Sunday, and we experience difficulty, our flesh, our human nature, we want to come up front and we want to broadcast the things that took place. We want to bring that person up here and just, maybe not physically, but we want everyone to know how much struggle I had and how many times I had to go through this process. God's instruction is that we have communication in that we our heart is not to destroy that person, but to bring reconciliation and to bring healing into that. So the call is, in these verses, is to apply God's instructions to our lives in faith and see God working, see our faith growing as a mustard seed. And he promises us here that we're going to see, we apply this in our lives and trust God, that we're going to see God working. A parable of service, verse 7 to 10 here. What service looks like. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to me, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Here, in this little passage, he's reminding us of what it's supposed to look like when we do our job. What is expected of us. When we do normal stuff, we don't need special treatment. When we give instruction to someone and we show them what is to happen and they do it well, we may thank them. But if it was just a normal task and I don't expect special treatment. We don't expect to give special treatment. And he is reminding us that we are to, that's how we are to live our lives. But wait. When life is hard and we had to work hard, it took us all day to accomplish that task because of some setbacks that came unexpected. Henry spoke to us about those unexpected setbacks. We often like to sit around and talk about those unexpected setbacks in life. We like to blame people, circumstances, and make excuses for ourselves. At the least, we like to have people realize what we went through. Going down to verse 11, we look at the 10 lepers and their experience with Jesus. And as we look at these 10 people that were experiencing hardship, we don't know why they found themselves with leprosy. Some of them may have come to this place just by living life. Some of them may have chosen to take care of someone that had this disease, and they also received it. Others may have maybe been given instructions like, that disease is deadly. You need to stay away from it. It will get you. And they chose to disregard it. Regardless, we see here as we read this passage, starting in verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. These men here, we can assume that they were in trouble. And I would assume that they would have probably tried everything that they could lay their hands on to help themselves, to find healing, to change their circumstances. They were in trouble. In verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They saw Jesus. They knew something about Jesus. They also had an experience with him, or they heard of the things that Jesus did for others. And they cried out to Jesus and asked him to have mercy on them. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priests." He told them to go show themselves to the priests to see whether they were acceptable. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. An act of obedience. And they were healed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Where do we fit in this story of these 10 Samaritans? These men had found themselves buried in problems. They saw Jesus, they sought Jesus as he came along to fix their problems. And they were quick to take instruction and to follow it to a point. And they found relief. But we noticed that 9 of them, as soon as they experienced some relief in their life, they just quickly went about, seems like, living life, forgetting what they had just experienced. 9 out of 10 of them did that. I wonder what their life looked like after, as they continued living. Were they experiencing, did they experience what they were hoping to experience? Tells us in this account that one of them came back to Jesus. Verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet. What did he do? He was giving thanks to God, to Jesus, for what he was experiencing. With a loud voice that glorified God. Jesus noticed. Verse 19, he told him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. As we experience the hand of God in our lives, and we recognize the things that he has done for us, the things that he has protected us from, what do we do with them? Do we quickly forget and go about our way in life, living life, the things that are important to us? If we want to experience true healing, real victory, We need to be as that Samaritan coming back to Jesus and having a heart of thankfulness, a heart of worship. And there's many things in life that will keep us from doing just that. And we see some of those instructions in chapter 17 prior. We can be angry at life. We can have things in our lives that we're holding on to. And they will, if we don't deal with them, if we don't work through them, if we don't follow the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples, and we don't apply that to our own lives. And finally, we come to a place where these lepers came to. We're going to have to process those things. And we won't be able to come back. We don't work through them in our lives. We won't be able to come back as the Samaritan did with a heart of gratitude, a heart of worship. And as we worship God for the gift of healing, for the opportunity in life, if we don't have that, we're going to have a crippled life. So I'd like to just encourage us in that. If we want to experience what the leper, this one man, experienced, let's make sure that we give all to Jesus. That we don't go through life trying to obey what God commands, thinking of the life of Jonah, for instance. He experienced hardships. He did obey God, but he didn't receive the blessings, seeing people repenting, because there was something there that he had against those people. Let's analyze our hearts this morning and see, is there something in my life that is keeping me from coming to Jesus as this leper came back? He came and fell down on his face, giving thanks. He worshiped God with a true heart. And Jesus said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." Back in verse 5 and 17 here, and the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." They recognized that what Jesus was teaching them, that they needed faith. They needed to trust God. And so let's seek that out for our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." As those 10 lepers were standing on the hill and looking at Jesus coming, they recognized something. They recognized that they had a need. And they called out to Jesus. One of them went all the way. The challenge for us here this morning is, we have to recognize where we're at in life, what our needs are, and we have to accept that we're at whatever place that we're at. If those lepers had looked at Jesus and decided among themselves that, "I don't think we're really sick. I think that if we just keep working at it, it's going to get better somehow. Or maybe it won't even exist anymore." We see them recognizing, they accepted where they were, and they called out for help. They were all experienced healing to some physical healing, and we know for sure that one experienced spiritual healing. So this morning, let's just ponder that and think about where we are. Are we honest with ourselves? Are we honest with God? In closing, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, our situation, and we give it to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as He does that, let's remember our healer. Let's worship Him. Let's give Him thanks. And it will give us a reason to get up in the morning, to rejoice, and we will experience the true healing that leper experienced. May God bless.